You're listening to the ISF Podcast for your organization's better cybersecurity. Your host, ISF CEO Steve Durbin, is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. In today's episode, Steve sits down with Deborah Andrews, president and owner of Marketry, a strategic marketing firm. Steve and Deb discuss what goes into creating a marketing plan that the C-suite can get on board with, and Deb shares how she and her team work to balance human knowledge with the speed of artificial intelligence. Deb also explains the role of Marketry's AI Council.
Deb, it's lovely to see you. Thanks for joining me on the podcast. Now, you've got quite an interesting background, and I wanted to start by really trying to understand a little bit better exactly what it is that your organization, your company does, which you founded and you're the owner. So Marketry, as the name suggests, focuses on marketing, but it's a lot more than that, isn't it? Tell us a little bit about your organization.
Yes. First, Steve, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Marketry is 21 years in the making, started in 2004. And even though marketing has changed quite a bit over the last 21 years, our value proposition has remained the same. It's really to bring world-class marketing teams to organizations that may have one person in marketing, may have no one in marketing, and give them access to high-level talent, processes, systems to really power measurable growth. Marketing is sometimes viewed in organizations as a cost center. We make it a profit and revenue generator for organizations. And the way we work is we work in teams. So every one of our clients has a team of professionals. We are a tech-enabled company. We work with a lot of different software that gives us measurement and analytics. And we always start from a place of figuring out a good, solid strategy for our clients. And then we move that strategy forward. We execute on their behalf. And for the most part, we're reporting right into the chief executive officer, president of the company. And they expect growth at the end of the day while we do marketing things. What they hire us is to grow through marketing. So that's a long-winded answer about our company.
No, it's perfect because it actually hits on some of the key sacred cows of marketing, isn't it? People would always say to you that it's very difficult to measure the effectiveness of marketing. It's a bit of a leap of faith. We have to do this, we have to do that. Let's drill into that in a little bit more detail at the moment. So how do you go about measuring marketing effectiveness? You mentioned the fact that very often this is going into the chief executive. Chief executives, if I suppose I'm anything to go by, normally are focused on return on investment. So how do you go about demonstrating that? Give us some insight into that.
We can create the best marketing plans or really beautiful creative. And I feel like CEOs, they just want to see the dashboards. Just get me to the dashboards. So when we create go-to-market plans for our clients, we do a pretty extensive due diligence. We want to make sure that once we've had that roadmap, it's our best guess at any point in time, like how we're going to get them from where they are today to their high-level growth objectives, whether that's a year from now, 2 years from now, or even longer term. But that is just our best guess at one point in time. And the way we make sure that we're moving towards those growth objectives is using key performance measures to see whether are we making progress. So as part of those plans, what comes with, we measure the current state of our client and we look at their website traffic, conversions off their website. We look at their CRM, their database, try to put some measure of how engaged people are within their database. And we use some marketing terminology like marketing qualified leads or sales qualified leads to measure engagement. So we sort of know what we have, what we're working with from the current state. And then through our marketing campaigns, we're looking to move those measurements and we select ones that are appropriate for our clients. Typically, always we want to move measurements related to the website. That tends to be the hub for a lot of the campaign work or the channel work that we're doing for clients, whether it's a social media strategy or if it's a multi-channel campaign. Ultimately, we want them to go to the website. So we're looking for key performance measures to see that jump in traffic, to see that measurement, but also to see people that are coming to the website convert in some way, subscribe, download something in particular, or the best case is to fill out a form saying that they wanted more information. So there's a lot of marketing key measures like email open rates, social engagement. We look at paid advertising, media placements. We'll look at reach, impressions, things like that. that all gives us like a really good idea that what we're doing is working. But at the end of the day, within a 6 month period, really what the CEO wants to see is they want to start to see what's in the funnel. How many leads? Are those leads moving down to people who want to talk to sales? And are they good leads? They get feedback from sales, or they're too small, or they're not in the right market. Then that's not, you're spending money, but you're not bringing in your ideal client. And that's ultimately what they want, is to see that funnel start to fill up over time. And that's what usually, if they have a sales team, that's what the sales team wants as well. So it doesn't happen overnight. We partner with companies that understand marketing is not like direct response. We're not going to get a windfall in a week or two. It's a very thoughtful process, which that plan guides the way. But that's a little bit in terms of the key performance measures. And we've invested recently into some technology that gives us real-time insight into those measures. So we're not having at the end of the month to cobble together reports, looking in marketing automation or looking in LinkedIn or looking at other software to pull together, try to make sense of it. We actually have software that now has API integration with all of these and brings real-time insights both to us and to our clients as well. They have access to that data.
Okay, so it's all fairly open. You mentioned technology. Obviously, I have to ask, what sort of role does AI play in all of this?
Yeah, so increasingly it's playing a larger role for marketry. I don't know if that's the case for all organizations. I feel like from what I'm hearing and what I'm reading, organizations in general kind of haven't started on the journey, or maybe they're AI emergent. I would say a pretty AI forward company. About 2 years ago, we started as a company knowing that we would have to transform the way we work because we work on behalf of our clients. And basically, we formed an AI council and we leaned heavily on the Marketing AI Institute, which is based here in the US. They had a lot of guides and templates and podcasts to help improve our AI literacy to really understand what it is at its core. Eventually, it became like, what are all the things that we do as marketers on behalf of our clients? Bigger things like go-to-market plans, smaller things like an email blast or social post. And we basically went through every single use case in terms of what we do and figured out what role AI can ethically play in that. So what I mean by ethically play, I think content is a really good example.
Right.
When AI came out, I think everyone's like, oh my gosh, here it is. We can produce massive amounts of content and just put it out there. And quickly, companies learned that didn't work because everyone's content was sounding the same. People were starting to say, oh, that's AI generated. I can tell by it having em dashes or certain type of lingo that it typically uses. And so when we developed our content use case for AI, we're like, how can we get the best of what's human? And how can we get the best of the tool? What we determined through a lot of testing is how we go about interviewing people for content pieces and getting their unique points of view that only they can know through being experts in what they do, working in the trenches and making sure we're pulling out all of those golden nuggets. And when we use AI to do the copywriting, we ask it not to supplement with any extra information. Only use the information you're given. And through that, AI is a wonderful copywriter. It can learn your voice and tone. You can train it on your particular voice and tone. So we can train it on our client's voice and tone. So it can be very customized to that person and how they like to speak and words they like to use and how they like to sound. But ethically means we're not using trained data in the large language models to produce our content pieces. We're using human brains, their experience, and we're leveraging the tools as copywriters. So that's an example of how we're using AI in our operations. And we're seeing the quality is just as good or better than, I hate to say, we've had copywriters we've worked with over time that we absolutely love. So we've seen the quality remain the same or go up. And we're also seeing, obviously, that we can produce more in a shorter period of time, which makes our clients happy, makes us happy.
Yeah, I think it's that, doesn't matter whether we're talking about marketing or anything when it comes to AI, is to try to get the best from the tool, from AI, and the best from the people. And if you can try to pull those two things together without compromising on either side, then you're probably onto something. And I think so many organizations that I speak to I think it's getting a little better. I think we've transitioned away from this somewhat now. But certainly in the beginning, when AI arrived with the big splash that it did, there was this assumption that it was going to be a total panacea, particularly when you look at it from a marketing and sales perspective. Give me a profile of the ideal client who's going to sign a contract within 3 weeks. Those are the sorts of things that I know people were putting into ChatGPT. Had it worked, then I guess the world would have been a slightly different place at the moment. But clearly it didn't. The downside of that, or the net effect of that that I saw, was then people became somewhat disillusioned and thought, well, this isn't all it was cracked up to be. You know, I'm still going to have to put in some of the hard yards to get things done. It's nice to hear that you've come up with this more balanced approach of using what people are good at and then using tools where tools are particularly effective.
Absolutely.
You've mentioned on a couple of occasions there, ethics, ethical AI. Tell us a little bit more about that, because that is an area, certainly as a marketer myself, that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I think most business owners are concerned about ethics in their organization. And I feel like being really transparent with both having your employees understand how AI should be used within the organization is really important. Otherwise, they may use it in ways that you don't really want them to. So I think that's a piece of it. And being transparent with clients as well. We're not trying to hide that we're using AI and like shortcutting the process or delivering something like an AI produced post. What we share is that we're using it to help them gain competitive advantage, to have what we just talked about, the best access to human thinking, our thinking, their thinking as far as their area of subject matter expertise, and then the best of what this technology can do. And it's extremely powerful. So I think transparency is just really important. And from the beginning, there were organizations that said, don't use AI. And I get it. There's organizations in highly regulated industries, and they're worried about people using it and uploading confidential information, things like that, which is why very early on, we established our AI council and came up with things that we wanted, how folks should be using and experimenting with it, and what was safe to do and what was not safe to do. But shutting it down and saying, don't use it, because what I'm hearing is people that were kind of restricted from using it wouldn't use their work computer, but they would use their personal computer to use AI and then take it back. So there's always a workaround. So I think ethically, it's just being really transparent in terms of how you're using it within your own company. And then for us as consultants, like how we're using it in our client work. And we're continuing to try to educate our clients a little bit more. What we're finding is that they might not be as far along on their overall AI journey, marketing aside. And so we're trying to bring more education into our marketing meetings with them as far as we're rolling out a tool called Databox for real-time analytics. Why are we making that switch? What is the advantage? How does it work? What does it do? Things like that, just making sure that we're explaining what we're doing, how we're making decisions, that they're not just like, oh, what's the next best tool? Let's go grab onto it. That every decision we make is carefully vetted, thoughtful, and in their best interest.
And how do you see the future for marketing in emerging world? We've got AI, we've got all sorts of other things that are changing, not least particularly outside the United States, issues around sort of privacy, reuse of data. You mentioned that one of the more effective things that people can do is get them to fill in forms, personal data, all of that kind of stuff. It's a big challenge, isn't it, from a marketing standpoint? How do you see the future?
We've thought a lot about how we see kind of marketing departments in general changing. You know, my career started way long ago from the solo marketer. The reason I started my company is I was a solo marketer and that realized what a bad model that was, and that I was good at some things and not the others, to where it grew to this discipline of specialists, where you have your strategists and then you have people that are really good at doing certain things, content, social, SEO, all these specialists. And what we're going to start to see is that world contract. AI is going to start to play an increasing role in those specialist role. It's going to be able to do a lot of what specialists can do, like copywriting is a great example, and it'll be able to do it and do it very well. The future organization is what we think will look like is having probably a CMO, someone that's going to be reporting in larger companies to the CEO and is really owning the business goals and understand like how marketing and the role of marketing that is going to play in the organization. But underneath the CEO will be, I think, what we call orchestrators that will be able to kind of flip between this human and AI world, have a really good understanding of AI and its capabilities, and understand kind of the decisions that the human being needs to make. What I feel like we're going to see is this contraction of the marketing department, where there's going to be less headcount because there's going to be less of a need for all of these areas of specialty, because AI is going to get quite good with proper prompts, with proper data and proper, you know, human input and oversight. It's going to get quite good. And again, I think the copywriting is the perfect first example of this, where I would feel like pretty much everyone on our team is leveraging the best practices that we've created, is very capable of creating great content, leveraging AI, using these best practices. And so we're going to start to see these orchestrators. They have knowledge of SEO, they know SEO, which prompts, things like that. Same with social, email, all of those things. So I feel like that's what we're going to start to see in organizations, is this contraction of the marketing department. I don't think it's going to happen in the next year or two, but I foresee that it'll happen over the next 5 years, and we'll start to see a scale down considerably.
And do you think that's primarily something that we're going to see first in the small to mid-size space? Because obviously some of the skill sets you're talking about, we know already they're not exactly widely available, and they do come at something of a premium price. So is it going to start there, or are you going to start seeing it in some of the bigger organizations?
I think the larger organizations will start to see that change. I mean, we're already starting to see some interesting things. I think last week, Intel announced that it was eliminating its in-house marketing function for the most part, and it was outsourcing it all to Accenture. So interesting. And what that would signal to me, I don't know much about what's going on at Intel, is that it feels like it's going to get better value outsourcing this function to a cutting-edge consultancy that is adept at probably leveraging the best of human and the best of AI. I do feel like we're going to start to see, you know, more of these changes. So I think these changes will happen in the larger organizations. I think the smaller organizations, honestly, talking to senior level marketers, whether they're CMO or heads of marketing, I think they're just struggling to keep afloat of their workload right now. I feel like AI has had this paralyzing effect on a lot of mid-sized organizations, where they know AI is out there and they know it's supposed to have an impact. And they're reading about companies reducing headcount and or not hiring. And according to some of my marketing peers, they're saying, we need more on our marketing team. We're really strapped. We're growing. But yet at the same time, they're getting a mandate, no, you can't hire, figure out how to use AI, which makes it harder because they're just busier. Yeah. It takes a lot of time to figure out AI. And so I think it'll be like a slower roll for the mid-size organizations because of that. And I do think firms like Marketree or other consulting firms can help be a guide for mid-size organizations to help them become more AI forward. Because right now, I view most organizations kind of in that, I don't know, it's not a good place to be, where you're super busy keeping up with your day work, but yet you're tasked with learning and figuring out how to operationalize a transformational technology that you really know nothing about. Mm. And like I said, we've been at it for 2 years now with a dedicated, disciplined AI council and a lot of investment in conferences and executive education and all of that. So you're asking your already busy head of marketing to figure all this out now, and you're not giving them headcount. So it feels like a bad cycle. I know that's not going on everywhere, but these are just some of the things that I'm hearing and why I think that mid-sized organizations will struggle a little bit with their AI adoption and being able to leverage some of these best practices, especially if they can't get help either through consulting or additional headcount to free up their time to invest more time in learning about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of what you're saying is down to this whole hype around AI. It's how hard can it be? Actually, the answer is very. And to really get a return on AI and using it, and I'm speaking from our own experience in this, some of the projects that we have started have taken considerably longer than we had originally anticipated in terms of really delivering some value. And the resources, I think, that have been required probably are far greater than we were led to believe at the outset. And so I think those are two things for people to just bear in mind. It isn't a quick fix, and it will take longer than you think. And then you're going to want to change it, because the more information you get back, the more you understand what you can do, the more ideas you have about how you can then take that forward and develop it. So For me, anyway, I would say to anyone, you know, who's considering that kind of thing, it is actually a full-time job. You cannot scrimp on the resource in that space. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree with you. We spent 2 years building out our best practices so that everyone's using AI consistently, which creates efficiencies and ensures quality. We don't want everyone using it in a different way. And as good ideas have come in, we have a feedback loop where they provide that and we update the best practice. Because we're a marketing consulting firm and I have 18 full-time hires, it feels less lonely and it feels more fun to work as part of groups because it's like, I tried this. What do you think of this? And, you know, if you're kind of alone or you're a department of one or two, I think it's hard. But now it seems to be advancing so fast. Now you're hearing about automations and agentic AI. We think we've maxed out what we as marketers, non-computer science programmers know how to do. So 2 weeks ago, we hired a senior director of AI innovation to come in and really help us take our business to the next level. And of course, our clients and their AI forward because we serve in marketing on their behalf for it as well. So yes, I think it is hard. And these tools are pretty intuitive. At the end of the day, I think when you start to think about the automation aspect and having these tools sort of start to self-perform activities in a safe manner, enough to say, we need expertise here. We can't do this on our own.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I mean, knowing when to shout for help is probably...
That's exactly right. Where you're going to stall out now. It's moving so fast. And I remember 2 years ago listening to Paul Reitzer and the Marketing AI Institute talk about this journey to basically superhuman intelligence. And it seems every time I listen to the podcast, that is getting shorter and shorter, that time frame. And with that speed, I think all companies need to be open to getting resources and be open-minded about their staffing and definitely knowing when to raise your hand to get help.
And of course, not forgetting marketry, where you've been spending quite a while in this space and can probably help shortcut some of those challenges that people are facing. Deb, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, hearing a little bit about what you're doing, talking about AI and some of the challenges and indeed solutions that are just out there. So thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Special thanks to this week's guest, Debra Andrews. We'll be back with another new episode next week. In the meantime, if you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. And we'd be pleased if you'd consider sharing the episode. To become an ISF member, get in touch with Steve directly at steve.durbin@securityforum.org or on LinkedIn. Check out all our media and resources. All of it is there to support you at securityforum.org. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox Productions and Tavia Gilbert. Thanks for listening.